Prime Time Replay from Money FM 89.3.
Today on Forex Fridays, we start with events closer to home, and the recent release of Singapore's September PMI figures disappointed one again, pointing to yet another month of contraction. And this also raising fears of a potential recession here down the road. It also calls into question what the MAS might do in response to this at their next policy meeting in a couple of weeks. Today on Forex Fridays, we are joined by Mr. Vishnu Varathan, the head of economics and strategy at Mizuho Bank, who's here to help us unpack what these figures mean for the broader economy and the Singapore dollar down the road, and also to help us look at what some of the bigger stories in the Forex space might be in the fourth quarter. Vishnu, thank you so much for joining us, and good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My pleasure.
So, Vishnu, I do want you to put on your economics hat. I want you to help us make sense of these recent PMI figures from Singapore. 49.5 in terms of the manufacturing PMI. It did contract once again. Electronics also contracting for the 11th straight month, if I'm not mistaken here. Can you tell us, as an economist, what are your key takeaways from these figures? And do you think, more importantly, that could this be a foreshadowing of a potential recession in the coming in the near future for Singapore?
Sure. I mean, just taking a look at the numbers and the movement in the numbers coming out, you know, month on month, the main takeaway is that the contraction has deepened. Of course, it's a lot more pronounced for the electronic sector, but overall manufacturing contraction has deepened. In the past, PMI has not always been the best indicator of whether there will be a downturn or not. You know, sometimes we do get false readings or false positives, so to speak. But the bigger point here is, if we took the PMIs, and like you pointed out, the electronics has been on a very prolonged contraction indication against global PMIs that are weak and U.S. ISM manufacturing that also contracted very sharply, then it does look like the manufacturing sector's outlook has dimmed even further, and we're looking at a manufacturing recession at least prolonging into 2020. Whether or not the economy as a whole suffers the dent of a recession or not, I think would still depend on the outcomes such as what happens between U.S., China, U.S., EU, and whether there are further steps taken to tackle the slowdown in the U.S. So these things are the uncertainties left out there.
Now, Vishnu, you mentioned a while ago that these manufacturing PMI figures are not the most perfect or the best indicators for a potential recession. What do you think are then? What are some of the things that you're watching out for as economists that might be better flags or indicators of whether or not we might see a recession down the road?
Well, I mean, some of it is just a matter of corroboration. So we want to see whether these numbers for Singapore, which can tend to be quite volatile and move sharply, whether they corroborate with the scene that we see in terms of where final demand comes from. So the numbers that you see in the U.S., Eurozone, and then with the other regional exporters. So if all of these marry up, then that's one very key sign. The other thing that we watch out for is how the yield, the USD yields or the U.S. bond markets are behaving. If they are pointing towards a lot more downside in the yields, and not always, but typically that would then also correspond to increasing risks of a recession, particularly if we see the long end yields, then the 10-year yields, you know, catching down very sharply with the 2-year yields.
All right. So, Vishnu, let's tie this all into what this means for the Singapore dollar moving forward, especially since the MAS, or the Monetary Authority of Singapore, since they're set to meet in the next week or two. What do you think this all means for the Singapore dollar?
So let me just decompose this into
Sure.
three things. First, it would be the MAS move. Our base case is for the MAS to ease policy by revoking the slope altogether. That's to say, to stagnate the range for the trade-weighted Singapore dollar. And then the consequent knock-on question is, does that mean that the Singapore dollar, in reaction to the policy, will respond with an immediate depreciation? The technical response is not necessarily, but given that the Singapore dollar on a trade-weighted basis is on the stronger side of the policy bands, if the outlook and markets are feeling very fearful about global recession, then that's every excuse to knock the Singapore dollar lower. We could see Singapore dollar weakening against the US dollar to 139, 140, in which case. And whether this means a prolonged weakness or not, it'll be more difficult to see this because it really depends on the dollar trend that would determine what the Singapore dollar would look like in the 12 months forward.
We're still speaking to Mr. Vishnu Varathan, the head of economics and strategy at Mizuho Bank. The fourth quarter has been a dismal start due to that disappointing economic data, and recession fears not just here but across major economies in the world have risen once again. And we've seen a flight to safety favoring U.S. bonds once more in the last couple of days. Do you think that this might see the dollar resume strength again before the year ends, or are recessionary fears in America going to keep the greenback pegged back? Is it revising your outlook on the dollar at all?
Sure. I mean, I like that question a lot because you have very nicely painted the dilemma that the dollar is facing. There are two-way forces involved there. But this is how we want to break it down. I think the initial reaction to recession fears in the U.S. would be to weaken the U.S. dollar because markets would then reposition themselves and I think realign and recalibrate their expectations that the U.S. would outperform the other economies in the region. So the expectations of the Fed cutting rates further could see the dollar decline initially. But if the recession fears pick up further on a global recession basis, then we'd see funds flowing back into the U.S., particularly out of the emerging markets, and that would see the dollar strengthening against a lot of the emerging market and Asia currencies, but perhaps not as much against the euro and the yen, and that is the nuanced picture that we would see with the dollar in that situation.
Now, staying on the theme of flight to safety, also the Japanese yen once again on vogue, Vishnu, strengthening quite significantly, and I think this is a question that forex traders who hold yen and also Japanese equity investors might want to know. Do you think that the Japanese yen might fall below 107 sooner than we think, especially with a potential consumption snag because of these higher consumption taxes that were introduced this week?
But I'll have to put our house view out there first.
Sure.
And that's to say by late 2020, we think the dollar-yen would be at risk of testing the 100 mark. And so that's to say that a lot more yen strength could come about.
So 100, as in 100 flat.
That's right, 100 flat. That's right.
Okay.
By next year, so late next year, second half of next year. And that's really premised on a few things. I mean, one of the things is what you pointed out very clearly. A risk-averse environment could see the flight to safety and a lot of the carry trades unraveling further, strengthening the yen. But this would also pose a dilemma for Japan insofar that it's dependent on exports and a strong yen is not doing it any favors. And that's where the Bank of Japan's policies also come into play. So we would see a volatile yen with a strengthening bias as we go into 2020.
All right. We're still speaking to Mr. Vishnu Varathan, the head of economics and strategy at Mizuho Bank. Vishnu, I'd like to take a look at a currency we've been talking about on Forex Fridays quite a bit the last couple of weeks, and that's the Indian rupee. I'm sure you've noticed also those sweeping reforms and changes introduced by the Indian government with regards to tax cuts and the like also. But this does call into question whether or not India, with its massive budget, whether they can sustain it or if this will put any deficit pressures on the rupee. Have you been taking a look at the Indian rupee, and what is your read on how this currency might trade in the future?
Well, I think we think that the Indian rupee, I think, initially is going to see some support, particularly on a relative basis. I mean, now we've seen a lot of dollar volatility. So on a relative basis, Indian rupee will look very good, particularly because of the reforms and the tax cuts that boosted the Indian equity markets. So that those flows would prop up the Indian rupee. But beyond that, for the reasons that you pointed out, one of it is the fiscal slippage, whether the gaping hole left from the tax cuts can be filled or not. That is one of the worries. But for us, the bigger question is the global picture. So there are two angles to this. One is whether India can, with all the tax cuts and reforms and the RBI rate cuts, whether it can find its footing in terms of growth. That would play a part in whether rupee strength can be sustained. But the bigger picture is if we get a larger risk-off scenario coming into play, then the twin deficit countries, which includes the India and the rupee, will suffer, and we could see the rupee selling off. So there could be a big turn in the tides for the rupee next year if conditions worsen a lot more.
So a lot of downside risk perhaps for the rupee in 2020. Finally, Vishnu, I want to go back to safe havens again. And gold has also been benefiting over the last couple of weeks of ratcheting uncertainty also. Okay, what does Mizuho have an outlook on gold for the end of the year? And do you think testing 1600 or even a higher level is possible before the end of this December?
I have to say that gold's ascendancy appears to be on very, very broad basis. And this is where it comes about from. I mean, on one hand, the increasing risks of a downturn in the U.S. and the Fed responding in kind, cutting rates, potentially restarting some kind of a balance sheet expansion. Both of these actions would independently be supportive of gold prices. So that's the first thing. We've also seen a rise in geopolitical risks, be it in Iran, North Korea launching missiles. And these geopolitical risks usually favor gold in particular when it comes to safe haven more than the other usual safe havens. So that's another boost that's coming through for gold. And most of all, I think in a very low, low growth environment, the opportunity cost of parking money in gold is not as high, particularly when there are a lot of risks still hanging over people's heads. So that's another reason why the allure of gold could hold. But the extent to which it could continue to go higher will come back, I think, and depend very heavily on whether the Fed restarts a balance sheet expansion program or an asset purchase program.
All right. Vishnu Varathan, Head of Economics and Strategy at Mizuho Bank, we thank you again for joining us on Forex Fridays and for sharing your thoughts on what you guys are looking out for in the future. Appreciate the time, sir.
Thank you very much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.
Thank you for your time, sir.